Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns in four.
One, two, three, four.
4 minutes of nonstop Suns news, highlights, and takes on the team. Brought to you by 72 Sold. 72sold.com, where you can sell your home in 72 hours for thousands more than selling the traditional way.
Suns in four.
Yeah, Suns looking for a franchise record last night, welcoming the Detroit Pistons to Footprint Center. Midway through the first quarter, it was a little bit sluggish, tied at 13 with 4:38 to go, but the Suns would close things out on the quarter on a 17-5 run, capped off by JaVale McGee doing what he does.
Dame won't get it, but McGee will. JaVale McGee rattles the rafters as he followed and scored, and the first quarter is going to come to a screeching halt.
Yeah, 30-18 after one quarter. Al McCoy, the Hall of Famer, on the call. We fast forward now to the second quarter. Suns starting to feel things a little bit offensively, padding their lead three at a time. Courtesy of Landry Shamet.
Out on top for the Suns is Chris Paul. Paul on the drive. Gets the ball to Shamet. Three-pointer. Shazam! Landry Shamet knocks down the trio.
Yeah, that put the Suns up 14-47-33. The lead would get no less than 11 points the rest of the way. And Cameron Payne, right before halftime, stretched it to 18.
Breaking loose with the basketball. Payne stops. Puts up a three. Shazam! Campaign.
Yeah, 69-51 at the break, Suns by 18. I don't know about you, Bick, but I'm thinking, okay, Detroit, they're not good. They're young. They don't have the horses. Suns are feeling it a little bit right now. This is going to be a breeze. We're going to get some Jalen Smith time tonight. We're going to get some Chandler Hutchison playing time tonight. But that was not the case. You know, the lead would remain right around the mid-double digits. And in the first part of the third quarter, Mikal Bridges hitting a three to keep it at 18.
Back to Bridges for three. Shazam! Mikal Bridges. 80-62.
Yep, 18-point lead there. But that's when the Pistons started to claw back. Their rookie, Cade Cunningham, who got off to a rough start, foul trouble, had three fouls before the first media timeout. He started to get hot.
And it's picked up by Diallo. Diallo with a steal. Get it off to Cunningham. Back to Diallo. Over in the corner it goes. And putting up a three is Cunningham. And he knocks it down for Detroit. So Cunningham now with 10 points.
Real quick. So Diallo's presence in that game last night was interesting to me because Josh Jackson was not in the game at all.
Yeah, didn't get off the bench.
How does a number four overall pick not get into a game for a four-win basketball team? Just asking.
Might I reintroduce you to Josh Jackson? A 15-point lead after the Cunningham three. Stewart gets a layup. Diallo gets a dunk. It's down to 11. Then another layup by Cunningham. Then Jeremy Grant. He got into the
swing it in the corner area. Over on the far side to Grant for three, and he nails it. Well, Monty Williams, the Suns coach, said before the game, talking about Detroit, they aren't going to give up. They're going to play hard, and they're within an 80-74 lead right now after the Suns have led by 18.
Yeah, down to six. It got down to one a little bit later. Again, Cade Cunningham.
Diallo back to Cunningham. Cunningham at three-point range, shoots it straight away, got it. Well, it's all Detroit right now. They found the range. And it's a one-point ball game.
17-0 run, Al.
That's the NBA. If you're not ready, look out.
Yeah, Tim Kempton bringing it up. 17-0 run. Suns would respond. They got two free throws from Cameron Payne. It looked like Hamidou Diallo beat the shot clock on kind of a weird bounce that would have tied the game at 82. It was reversed later on. There was some confusion on that. But the Suns would end the quarter up six at 87-81. And, of course, the fourth quarter, when you're on an 18-game win streak, you own the fourth quarter, Chris Paul.
He looks, turns, shoots, 16-footer, swish, it's good.
Well, Detroit, everybody ran away from the ball trying to cover the guys that were streaking down the floor, and Chris just calmly makes that free throw line jump shot.
Yeah, the jumper by Paul, under 7 minutes to go. Suns led by nine. It's becoming a thing now. Landry Shamet hitting a dagger three.
Out on top, Shamet for three. Shazam! When you need it, Shamet is there, and Landry Shamet knocked down a big three.
Yeah, the Suns' last bucket of the night with under 45 seconds to go, late in the shot clock. Chris Paul lobbing a pass to DeAndre Ayton. He slammed it. The place went absolutely nuts. It was all over but the shouting.
This one is over. The Suns did what they had to do, and they come away with a victory here tonight, downing a very hard-nosed Detroit team, 114-103. And for the Suns, they are now 19-3 on the year, and they have won 18 straight, a new record for consecutive wins.
Yeah, unbelievable accomplishment by the Suns, and they win it by 11 last night. Monty Williams after the game.
I've been in the NBA now in 3 decades. You know, I don't know what it adds up to, but I've been in the game for a long time. I've made more money than I deserve, and I coach basketball. You know, I'm not on the front line or a policeman or a doctor or a nurse or something like that. I'm coaching basketball. So for that, I'm grateful.
Yeah, Monty Williams keeping things in perspective as he normally does. That day, named the NBA's Coach of the Month for November, undefeated in the month.
Yeah, how do you not give it to him? Yeah. He probably, you know, it's funny because knowing how humble he is, he probably looks at that and laughs. He's like, what did I do to deserve that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's nobody else, you give it to him. Yeah, there just isn't. And I look at the streak and I look at it and I think, okay, DA missed a big chunk of that, and that's when Frank Kaminsky was absolutely stellar, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there were some really signature road wins, the back-to-back in New York and Brooklyn. I did not expect them to get through unscathed. The performance against Brooklyn was, it just filled my heart with joy the way they presented themselves that day. And then the Golden State game was more of the same. And here we go into a game tonight. When we get back into this, Monty Williams, if he wanted, he could really kind of do some gamesmanship here. This is 3 games in a row?
For what?
In the span of how many days?
3 and 4 days.
And 4 days for the Suns. And so you're looking at a situation where Mikal Bridges has played a lot of minutes the last couple games.
3 straight games over 40 minutes.
Yeah. What if you give him a night off? What if you give him, you know what I mean? Gamesmanship. Concede the game, but make the game meaningless.
You don't do that you got to respect the streak.
And you got to respect the ESPN audience. Yeah, I guess.
You don't have to. I mean, nobody else does. But. Mikal Bridges, by the way, in his last 4 games is averaging 40.4 minutes. But you want to talk about a menace defensively? He's averaging 4.5 steals per game over his last 4 games, including a 7-steal game against Brooklyn. The guy has been remarkable. We will get into that. I kind of like where you're going with that.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
I don't think it's going to happen, but it's an interesting, it's food for thought.
Yeah, it is food for thought.
And Jarrett loves food.
Suns going for 19 in a row tonight in San Francisco. Attention, Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all next week as the division rival LA Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football on December 13th. Text red to 620-620. Listen for your name, 730, 1230, 430. All next week to win 2 tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. Once again, that's red to 620-620. Speaking of the Cardinals, lots of questions about availability on offense. What's the defense look like going into the Chicago game? We'll hear from their coordinator next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Marotta. Presented by 72 Soul, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
You know, every week, you kind of look at what they do best. You know, they have a lot of good skill guys. You know, Montgomery is a NFL back that runs hard and breaks tackles. I think they're a top 10 rushing offense. You know, and they got a receiver in Mooney who's had, I think, back-to-back 100-yard games, and when you watch him, man, he's a playmaker. You know, it's amazing when you don't see teams, you know, every single week or every couple weeks, that there's so many good players in this league. You know, every team's got them. You know, so the challenge is going to be, again, always to defeat what they do best and make them one-dimensional and play on our terms. But obviously with the quarterbacks, they have 2 functional guys with Andy, who's an experienced guy, who's very bright, you know, who won a big game for him last week, and the young kid feels, I mean, he is dynamic as a runner and as a thrower. I mean, he's going to be special moving forward, so it won't be easy. It never is.
Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals. And before we move on, Cliff Kingsbury made reference to it earlier this week when he was asked about the Oklahoma thing.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about how all of his focus being on Chicago, and it needed to be because Chicago, they won a big game on Thanksgiving against Detroit. Vance Joseph made it there. Yeah, Andy Dalton won a big game for them against Detroit on Thanksgiving. Can we stop pretending to tip the cap to the opponent? You beat Detroit. It was one of the most unwatchable things ever. I was tempted to switch over to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was so bad. It wasn't a big win. It was a win against a bad team. You won a battle of attrition.
Yeah,
can we stop pretending they're good?
Well, yeah, no, I know. But what are they going to do? Are they going to?
Yes.
Okay.
What a bunch of losers we're playing this week.
We should win this game. They're not that good. Well, they took advantage of a worse team than them.
Because, they don't want to put themselves in that position,
well,
though.
They don't, because the issue is if you go and lose that game, then you look like the one who failed. Like, mm-hmm. So that's just pure basic survival instincts is what that is, even though it is BS. Because you're right. That Lions game was just hot trash is what it was, as somebody who spent too much time watching it. I do know this. The Chicago Bears can run the football. Okay. David Montgomery is a good running back. They've got a good offensive line. They're eighth in the NFL in running the football. So once again, here we go with a very clear mission for the Cardinals defense. Stop the run. They've been able to do it against all the threats to plow them over in the past. They've handled those challenges. They've got another one this weekend because that's what the Bears are going to do, and it's going to be one of those kind of games.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears can run the ball. They had a stretch of really having success on the ground from week four against Detroit to the week nine game against Pittsburgh, and they lost a lot of those games, but they had 188, 143, 140, 143, 176, 136 last week, 68 yards on the ground against Detroit. Vance Joseph, though, you know, if there has been an area of concern defensively, it's been spots in the run defense. And Vance Joseph talked about whether or not he's emphasizing that even more because of the potential weather conditions in Chicago on Sunday.
Absolutely, guys. Every game's different, obviously, but this team's a run-first team. I mean, they're top 10 running offense, so that's got to be part of our plan, you know, to get the run stopped. And obviously, if the weather's nasty and wet, I mean, that's where they should go with it, you know, but that's always a part of our plan to take away what they do best.
Yeah, and I think there's no mystery in what they're going to do. They can, you know, we joke around about it so much. The Bears quarterback history is so bleak for a franchise that has so much to be proud about. Quarterbacks, not one of them, but we're seeing this week one of the reasons why is because when you get to this point in the calendar, it's miserable to play there.
Oh,
and you can't really throw the ball.
No,
that's part of the reason. But, yeah, I don't think there's any mystery in what the Bears want to do and what the Cardinals should be gearing up for.
This is what it's like, and people who are from Chicago know this. In the month of December, for people who commute and take the train downtown, when you get off the train in Chicago, it's very commonplace for people to have to duck into buildings for about 45 seconds just to de-thaw. Mm-hmm. Before they get to their office. That's how pathetic it is trying to live in that city in the wintertime. I've done it. It's so humiliating ducking into a building and you're like nearly hypothermic. And you're there with nine other people and you're just huddling to get warm. And then you back out the door and you finish your commute. It's ridiculous. My point is this, and it's because of the wind. That's what I'm getting at. It sounds like it's going to be one of those blustery days. It's going to be very difficult to drive the football through the passing game.
Yeah, Devon Kennard spoke to the media yesterday, and he heard what the actual temperature is going to be.
I didn't even know. I don't care. Either way, I'm like, I know it'll be a lot colder than here, and I know as soon as the game's over, we're coming right back. So last night I had to break out like a little coat. Like I'm like, I haven't worn this in years. Like, I had to go get it dry cleaned. It had like dust, and it's all wrinkled. I'm like, dang.
That's exactly what you have to do. You have to go up into the closet, open up boxes, and get your winter jacket. You got to bring it on this trip. Yeah, it's just going to be one. And so, again, I've said it, it's mindset. It's just the Cardinals have got to just kind of embrace this and take this. It's a big game for them. They can't afford to squander this game.
No, they can't. You know, especially with the Packers playing the way that they are. Yeah. Dallas getting back on track with a win last night. I mean, there's built-in pressure at this point. You got six games left. You want to hold on to that number one spot. What I want to know, though, Bick, is, you know, you sharing your experience about people ducking into buildings to thaw
it's
out.
It's ridiculous.
As somebody who, you still have a lot of Chicago in you, and, you know, you're from there. It's part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But being here all these years, does part of you laugh at the people that are still stuck in Chicago?
I laugh at my sister all the time. And I tell her, I'm like, what are you doing spending your entire life on the south side of Chicago? It's good for a while.
Does she laugh at you for living here in the summer?
No. No.
Really?
Because she's never been here in the summer.
It's also miserable in Chicago in the summer, by the way. It's like very humid.
It's just a different kind of miserable. Gross.
It's not. No, that's Chicago is the best summertime city on the planet.
Whoa.
For my money. For my summertime. But that's a very, very small window. And I've been to a lot of places.
Better than San Diego? Or Hawaii?
I mean,
it's the vibe. It's yeah. The big city vibe plus good weather in the summer plus you're coming out of just grotesque winters.
Yeah. That's the key, though. And you experience it also when I was in New York is that those first warm days after a long winter, it's like rebirth. It really feels...
When the temperature gets above 50, people are out like celebrating.
Big fat guys with mustaches wearing shorts.
Right, exactly. That's it.
Italian beef sandwiches on the street, walking around.
That sounds like the greatest summertime city in the world.
If you really want to know about Chicago, one year of the Super Bowl, we were broadcasting right next to a radio station from Chicago, WSCR. Mike North was a broadcaster at that point in time, and he went to commercial break, and I was sitting here watching him. He was doing a live read for a sausage company.
Yes.
At Chicago,
what did that sound like?
You need some sausage?
It was just Mike that. North here from Chicago North, sausage.
Mike North.
That belching video.
Right.
So you got the casing, you got the sausage, you stuff it in there.
A live read for a sausage company.
Hey, local sausage companies in Arizona. Where are you at?
Yeah, man.
We're here.
But no, right, exactly. Yeah. Sausage is religion in Chicago. It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny because in most religions you can't eat sausage. You know,
coming up next, we'll get caught up on the big stories of the day. Sarah's got the Rush Hour reboot for us.
Let's go.
It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Rush Hour reboot. Rush Hour reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the Rush Hour reboot here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. I am Sarah Cazell, taking you through the top stories of the day with Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, and Jarrett Carlin. Welcome into the Rush Hour reboot, everybody.
Good to be here.
What's happening?
Just hoping to help in any way I can. Take it one day at a time.
That would be nice for a change. Yeah. Let's go. The Phoenix Suns made history last night with their 18th consecutive win. They beat the Pistons 114-103, so that is the longest win streak in the history of the Suns franchise. Here is Chris Paul commenting on that after the win.
To be on this journey with guys, having young guys, having rookies on the team who never experienced stuff like this, it is cool. And it's also cool that guys ain't, like, stressing about it either. You know, it's sort of just happening.
Answer your phone, please, whoever that was. Now, the Suns were supposed to beat the Pistons, and they did. But it wasn't exactly a breeze of the game. They did have to fight through it a couple times throughout the game, including a major run by Detroit in the third quarter. And then it was a two-possession game in the final minutes of the contest. So, Dan and Vince, what do you think about the Suns' ability to perform under pressure, even if it's a position they should not have been in the first place?
Yeah, it's the secret sauce of this team, if you ask me. It is exactly what they won while losing the NBA Finals last year. It's the defining trait of this winning streak, and it's something that really kind of, like I said, I said this before, that when I watch them play, they act like they're the defending NBA champions.
Mm-hmm. It's a great point. But even go back to last year, I find this impressive because it's hard to do. You don't find streaks like this because it's hard to win this many games in a row. Mm-hmm. And last year you saw it. The Suns were a very good team. The Suns lost to Oklahoma City last year. Suns lost to teams that they should not have lost to last year. They lost to Minnesota at home last year. So they've kind of eliminated those, at least right now, they've eliminated those types of performances. And they know what they need to do to win these games that get tight, even against inferior teams. It's very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got a tough challenge ahead of them tonight. They're playing the Warriors again in San Francisco this time. So this will be the Suns' third game in 4 days. Right? Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. My mental math. Very strong. And the second game of a back-to-back. Cam Johnson, after last night's game, said the stakes for this one are quite high.
A team that we just played and we beat at home, we get to go to their place. Division game. There's a lot on the line. So you have to. This is what playing in the NBA is about. Going into these environments with these implications. And granted, it's a December game, but it means a lot. You know, and it means a lot to us. And they continue this streak, and it's going to be a fun one.
Okay, streak aside, if the Suns were to beat the Warriors again tonight, do you guys think this would be an even bigger statement win than their win on Tuesday?
Without a doubt.
Yes. At least they had a healthy Devin Booker going into that game on Tuesday.
A quarter and some change, yeah.
So you beat them without Devin Booker basically for most of the game, as you pointed out, Sarah. And then you go back and do it again in their place when they've, felt a little bit of pain. Much more of a statement win.
Yeah, Burnsy, there's a promo that we heard. He's talking about how he doesn't put any stock in these regular season games. And I understand that to a point, but there are some psychological ramifications. If the Warriors lose twice in the span of this many days to the Suns, mm-hmm. who are very shorthanded, and the Warriors are the team laying in wait while the Suns had a play last night, that's the kind of thing that can mess with the team.
Mm.
And that's why that whole gamesmanship is a thing. It's why Greg Popovich used to sit key guys against the Suns. He wanted no confidence brewing here based on regular season wins against his team.
Yep.
So to me, yeah, if they could pull this off tonight, that would be quite a statement.
Yeah, and you know what? Get another win against Golden State before you play him again on Christmas Day and Klay Thompson's back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. And the Warriors were doing a lot of that after the game as well.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay, the Suns can get away with guarding Steph Curry the way that they've been guarding him, but we're going to get Klay Thompson back. And when we get him back, teams are going to pay for shading guys on Steph Curry and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's fair to say, as you pointed out, he hasn't played a basketball game in a long, long time.
Yeah.
A long time, yeah.
There's been a whole global pandemic since the last time he played a basketball game.
Yes, yeah.
And Dan, as you pointed out earlier, this will be flexed to ESPN tonight. So another huge national game for the Suns.
Talk about a double win, though.
Warriors!
Basketball fans around the country get to watch Suns Warriors, and they're not subjected to watching LeBron and the Lakers. Talk about your win-win.
Good for them.
Yes.
Good for them. All right, let's turn from the Suns to the Cardinals. Did we just lose the music? We're not doing the music anymore? There it is. Let's look at Sunday now.
The same music bed, always. It has a little lull in the middle where it's just playing a little drums.
Wow. Jared took offense to this.
Because multiple times people have thought
Come on, toughen up, ferret.
Look, I screw up the music beds like three or four dozen times on the show, and then all of a sudden you think that it's going to happen.
Well, why do you think she's saying it?
Exactly.
Well, yeah, that begs the question, why do we have a lull in the music bed when it's editable?
Editable.
It's edible.
Editable. That's a hard word.
If you take an edible, you won't notice the music at all.
Or a second one. Now let's look at Sunday. The Cardinals, coming back from their bye, they have the Bears in Chicago on what is expected to be a very cold, wet, windy day in an open-air stadium. So given those conditions, Vance Joseph, the Cardinals DC, he said yesterday that their run defense will be the focus on Sunday.
Absolutely, guys. Every game's different, obviously, but this team's a run-first team. I mean, they're top 10 running offense, so that's got to be part of our plan, to get the run stop. And obviously, if the weather is nasty and wet, I mean, that's where they should go with it. But that's always a part of our plan, to take away what they do best.
Dan and Vince, you just talked about that in the last segment, how the defense needs to really show up. What do you think will be the biggest key for the Cardinals to beat the Bears on Sunday?
The formula remains the same. Don't turn the ball over. Get up early.
Mm-hmm.
it's even more so, I think, magnified if you put the Bears in a situation where they need to throw the ball in bad weather, and they're not equipped to do that. Although, the last three games, their passing offense has been pretty good. 310 yards through the air last week against Detroit. Again, you're going outside this week. The formula remains the same.
Yeah.
Cardinals do Cardinal things. They should win the game.
I think that obviously stopping the run is of primary importance in this game, as it's been many times this season. I think the turnover battle is really important in weather days like what's coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
When you get blustery wind, footballs can sail on you in the passing game. The ball is wet. The ground is muddy. It's slippery.
Your hands hurt.
Yeah, you're prone to fumbling. Cardinals have been fabulous at that game. At when they do fumble, they recover their own fumbles. They're not traditional fumbles, most of them.
True.
But
to see the raw numbers,
it's a little jarring.
The great number of fumbles and the few that they've lost, it's a little strange.
Yeah.
It'll probably even out at some point.
Okay. Finally, on ESPN Radio this morning, they were talking about this game, and Keyshawn Johnson, noted Cardinals fan, made this prediction.
This is going to be cold. A dome team traveling on the road, they can be walking in sleep, not paying attention, and get popped. Do I think that that's going to happen? Yes, I do.
What?
If Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play, I think the Chicago Bears and Andy Dalton at home. In a cold environment,
a warm weather team,
warm weather dome team goes in there and they get upset.
Come.
That's what I think.
Okay. Do you want to say something, Vinny?
No, I'll let you go first.
You could hear Keyshawn Johnson make that prediction after literally 6 seconds of thought. He decided that on the fly. That proclamation was decided with very little analysis.
Like, what would be a more interesting
answer? Right, exactly. And can it happen if Colt McCoy plays? Absolutely, that could happen. I could see that game, if Colt McCoy plays, being 17-14, and you could lose that game to the Bears.
I'll just say this as a blanket statement, because we do, from time to time, make predictions on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And some people in the audience take offense if you don't pick the team that you wanted them to pick, and they'll bring it up afterwards.
Never understood that.
So and my attitude when it's me getting it wrong is like, okay, I was asked to make a prediction. I gave you what I could care less what Keyshawn Johnson has to say.
Yes.
About anything, really.
Truly. To that point, though, he mentioned the potential absence of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins again. Whose prolonged absence, the fact that we are still talking about it now, a month plus later, whose prolonged absence is more surprising to you?
I can't even answer that question because we don't know the severity of either injury. Obviously, you know, with the way it's dragged on, they were pretty severe injuries.
Yeah.
Ankle over hamstring. But again, they're both nagging things.
I can attempt to answer it by saying that there was a time about 3 weeks ago when Cliff Kingsbury said DeAndre Hopkins was day-to-day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we saw him try to come back into the game in which he was injured. So I'm more surprised about D-Hop.
Yeah.
Again, I've seen this before with Kyler Murray. Not to this extent, but
sure.
This is I don't think this is necessarily out of character to be careful with injuries.
Yep. There you go. We're all rebooted. Thank you, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Rush Hour Reboot, 7:30 every morning here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Coming up next, we'll get more info on the Chicago side of things. Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago, Adam Hogue, will join
us.
It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Bickley and Murata, presented by 72 Soul, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Cardinals going on the road after their bye to Chicago. It's going to be beautiful on Sunday at Soldier Field as the Bears host the Cardinals, trying to hold on to that number one seed in the NFC. Here to talk about it from the Bears standpoint, he covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. He's an insider. Adam Hogue joins us here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Adam, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Can I just tell you how jealous I am that I just heard a commercial for air conditioning?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds amazing right now.
Yeah, Adam, I'm a Chicagoan who moved out here 20 years ago, and I've told everybody here this morning about how you have to get off a commuter train and duck into buildings because of the cold in the month of December and how awful all of that is. So what kind of weather are we looking at this Sunday?
Well, I got the fireplace on right now, guys. It's looking like a wet and kind of the worst weather you could possibly have. We always talk about that here in Chicago. When it's cold, but not cold enough to snow, it's just kind of wet and damp and cold, and like your bones are just cold. So, you know, I talk about this a lot here in Chicago. We talk about the Bears and this idea of potentially getting a new stadium here soon. I'm actually a big believer that bear weather is a myth, because I think, like, in 11 years of covering this team, I can think of one game where it may have actually resulted in a win, and that was when Jared Goff and the Rams came to Chicago in 2018, and it was like 4 degrees, and nobody on the Rams looked like they wanted to be there. For the most part, I think that their situation with the turf, and which is always bad, and the weather, like I think it actually does more harm than good. But this is maybe a game. I can't believe I'm saying this. Maybe a game with a warm weather team coming in where it could potentially help. Is it going to help enough to overcome all those injuries the Bears have on their defense? Probably not. But does it slow down the Cardinals' offense just a touch, especially with Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins coming back after a while off? Maybe it helps just a little bit, because it doesn't look like it's going to be very pretty on Sunday.
In terms of the Bears' offense, I know Justin Fields back at practice after missing some time. They've been able to throw the ball a little bit better with Andy Dalton the last few weeks. What do you expect, Adam, in terms of the play differential mix between Dalton and Fields? You think they'll both see time on Sunday?
Yeah, I think hopefully we're looking to get a little bit of clarity on that today. Justin Fields has just been limited so far this week in practice, which may be telling. You know, you know how it is. They don't let the reporters watch much of practice. Yeah. We get like 10 minutes at the beginning. And, from what I could tell in those 10 minutes, Justin Fields has been moving around just fine out there. He doesn't look like he's in a considerable amount of pain. And so at the beginning of the week, I thought that would mean that he's going to be the starter and play kind of his normal amount. But the fact that Andy Dalton has taken the first team reps the last 2 days, practice reps matter, especially when you're a rookie and, you know, you're going up against a scout team and you want to be practicing the plays you're going to run and the script you're going to run against the defensive looks that you're going to see on Sunday. So the fact that Andy Dalton's gotten most of those, at least as we sit here on Friday morning, kind of gives me an indication that he might end up being the starter actually in this game instead of Justin. But maybe we'll get a little clarity today. The Bears have not had either quarterback talk to the media yet this week, and they have to by the end of today, so by league rules. So one of the two of them is going to have to talk to us, and maybe that gives us a better indication of who's going to be playing on Sunday.
All right, Adam, you perfectly described what it's going to be like to play that game and how hard it is to play the game and how you have to really want to play a game like that to succeed in a weather game like what Sunday is going to be. What is that level of determination and belief with the Bears? How hard are they still fighting given all the craziness surrounding that football team this year?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and I was wondering the same thing. You know, with all the distractions last week, it would not have surprised me. I've seen enough in this league that they would have just showed up and, you know, gone through the motions against Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe it helped that it was a Thanksgiving game. You know, there's still a big spotlight on it. I think as much as players and the thing about players have to work on Thanksgiving anyway, because even when you're not playing, you're usually practicing because you're getting ready for your Sunday game. So, I mean, I still think there is a little bit of a pride for playing on Thanksgiving, and I think the Bears show it wasn't a pretty game, but the Bears, it's not like they went through the motions. They played hard, and they ended up getting a win even against a winless Lions team. So, that kind of passed the test for me. I think this week's been much calmer. I think they got over what was going on last week. And I have to say, you know, for all Matt Nagy's faults, the one thing I think that I always go back to is his players still have his back. This is not a situation where a team is quitting on a coach. The problem is they keep getting in these long losing streaks. They had a 4-game losing streak 2 years ago. They had a 6-game losing streak last year, and now they had a 5-game losing streak this year. So they're just not good enough, and that obviously counts and is probably going to be what cost him his job. But they're still playing hard for him. You got players this week backing up their head coach, like Eddie Jackson, a big voice on the defense. On the other side of the football, you know, sometimes when you have like an offensive head coach, it's the defensive guys that start to get frustrated with the guy. It seems like they're still playing for him. So I think the Bears will come out and play hard on Sunday. I don't think that'll be an issue.
Adam Hogue, NBC Sports Chicago, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Along those lines, Adam, and you kind of hit on where I was going, I think players still playing hard for an embattled coach is key. Because we've seen a lot of examples where that's not the case, and you see that coach go bye-bye. And I don't know what happens the last six games for the Chicago Bears. They're 4-7 right now. But considering the level of vitriol that that fan base has for that head coach, let's say those the Bears still continue to play throughout the remainder of the schedule for Matt Nagy, he comes back. What's the reaction from the fan base going into the offseason?
Oh, that'll just be really hard to justify. I mean, you know, we went through this at the end of last season with this big, you know, there's about 48 hours of silence after the final game last season. So they lose. They made the playoffs. They lost to the Saints. They only got in because the Cardinals lost, right, that last week.
Yep.
Bears get in. They're not really competitive against the Saints. They lose. And then there's like 48 hours of silence. And I think most of us covering the team thought both Ryan Pace, the general manager, and Matt Nagy would be coming back. But then there was like this weird silence for 48 hours. And it was like, okay, are they actually thinking about making a change here? And it got to the point where I think people started to think, maybe they actually are. Maybe this is really happening. And then they came out and said, everybody's coming back. And then they had this big press conference that happened over Zoom. And it was kind of a PR disaster. I mean, George McCaskey, the owner, Ted Phillips, the president, neither one did a really good job at justifying why they were bringing him back. And they didn't really give any explanation, any good explanation. Even though I thought there were reasons to bring him back, I just don't think that they did a good job of doing that. And it just kind of lit this flame that lasted all offseason. Really, the only thing that paused it, the amount of anger that the fans had, was when they drafted Justin Fields. For you know, all of a sudden it flipped and everybody was happy. But then as soon as Matt Nagy came out in training camp and was like, oh no, Andy Dalton's going to be the starter. We're not even going to give Justin Fields first team reps. Well, then everybody got mad again, and that just kind of sent this thing spiraling again. So I just think from that standpoint, it's a great question. If even if they like won out right now, which is obviously not going to happen with the Cardinals and Packers on the schedule here in the next couple of weeks, but even if that happened, I just don't think they somehow sneak in the playoffs. I don't see how they could justify keep bringing them back because they did that last year, and then they said they still needed to see progress. And so doing the same thing he did last year, I don't really see how that's progress.
Gotcha.
Mike Mulligan was telling us just how crazy fans have turned on Matt Nagy all over in all sorts of sporting venues across Chicago. Yeah. Is this a case where the players are rallying around that because they know some of it is borderline absurd, that a lot of the reticence to play Justin Fields early on might have been warranted given how green he happened to be?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things there. I think whether or not, look, the thing about Fields is I don't think they helped him by not giving, you can say that. I mean, you can look back and be like, well, maybe this is actually showing that he wasn't ready. And it's like, yeah, but what if you had actually given him the opportunity to go out and win the job and get more reps with the first team in training camp? Would he be farther along than he is? I mean, the fact that they kind of got caught in the middle, I think, is the problem. They didn't really do what the Patriots did, and they tried to go down this Patrick Mahomes road where they were like, we're going to sit him all year, and then by week three he had to play because Andy Dalton got hurt, and then the guy didn't look like he was prepared. So it just seems like it was not handled very well. In terms of how he's been treated here, yeah, I mean, this is something I kind of got caught up in last week accidentally because someone sent me the video of in his son's high school football game. They were in the playoffs in the state semifinals, and the crowd's chanting "Fire Nagy" while his son's on the field. And look, I've been doing this long enough, man. I'm not going to tell fans how to behave. Right. You have a right to boo. You have a right to yell when you want a coach fired. You spend a lot of money. And Bears fans still travel like crazy. It amazes me how much money they spend on a team that usually lets them down. But that's crossing the line for me, man. You don't bring family into it. You don't attack his son. Some people have strongly disagreed with me on that, and that's fine, but I just thought it crossed the line. And, you know, the thing about Matt, we have coaches – today, right, anywhere that are, you find out they're really actually bad guys, right? You know, Brian Kelly's kind of going through that this week, right? Leaving from Notre Dame to LSU, you know, and Matt Nagy's a good guy. Like, I can tell you that. And so that doesn't mean that he should keep his job if they're losing, but it also means that you shouldn't go after the guy's family. And so I think some of this has crossed the line. You know, chanting at a Bulls game or a Blackhawks game, or I think there's a wrestling event downtown earlier this week, and they're chanting "Fire Nagy." Like, okay, fine. Like,
it's just become a thing.
Voicing
right,
your
right.
opinion,
yeah.
But don't attack the guy's son.
Adam, thanks so much for the time and the insight. Really appreciate it. Good stuff.
Guys, we'll see what happens Sunday.
All right, thank you, Adam Hogue covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. He joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. We are issuing a code red all next week as the division rival Rams invade State Farm Stadium Monday Night Football, December 13th. Text red to 620-620. Listen for your name. 7:30, 12:30, 4:30 next week to win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. That is red, R-E-D, to 620-620. Bick's got your blast next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.